Hallelujah, Lord.
It's all for you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. I heard the Lord say,
Jesus,
I've washed you in my blood, and now I bathe you in my love. And then a few minutes later, when I was singing, I live to worship you, he said, I live to love you. Receive that. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Glorious
Thank
Jesus.
You for that.
You are a glorious God. We worship you.
You've washed us in your blood and you bathe us in your love, Lord. We live to worship you and you live to love us.
Full of mercy.
Jesus.
Full of grace.
What more could we ask for?
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We love you. Thank you, God.
We love you, Jesus.
Worship you, Lord. You're wonderful.
We love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We worship you. We are here
Jesus.
To worship you, Lord.
We
are
we
here to
you
worship
so
you, Lord.
God. We receive your love.
We love you so
Hallelujah,
much.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You for your blood and we
you're holy, Jesus. You're holy.
Jesus, Jesus. Oh, your caras.
In the presence of your majesty.
Makore se ne yatala. More meleman se. Sing it with him. Let's sing it together. Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Just go ahead and magnify him. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus.
Worthy is the Lord.
Oh, my children, my wonderful, blessed children, how much this day I love you. How much I love to hear your praises come off your lips. I see every lip that moves in this building. And I would say, keep praising, keep worshiping, because soon and very soon, I'm coming to get you. You can't even imagine nor fathom what I have in store for you, the place that I have made for you. I know what each and every one of you are going through. I know your conditions. And I would say, use the wisdom that comes from the Word of God. I talk to my sheep. Yes. I tell them where to go, when to go, what to do.
Yes.
And I will tell you.
Yes.
I'm not a respecter of persons.
Praise God.
I do not heal one person. And I do not heal another person.
Yes.
I heal you all. My son came. His blood poured out. He gave himself up that we might be made whole. And he would say to you, don't be afraid. I know there are many things that are going on in this world today, but I, your Lord, your God, your majestic heavenly Father, I'm in control. I know all that's happening. So fear not, for I will take care of you, and I will bless you.
Hallelujah.
I am the lifter of your head. Hallelujah. Keep your oil lamps full. Keep them burning. Keep them burning. Don't let them go out. Not that I need to have any light to find you. I'm talking about never, never go a moment without having me in your heart, in your mind.
Worship
my children.
Thank you.
Worship.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
We adore you, we magnify you.
Exalt you. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. That's good. How many have received that wholeheartedly? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Since we're not done with worship, just so you can get comfortable, let's just go right back in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, because I put chea corota. Receva loco. Mendeke receiva da calaquiete. He's come with the more to try places that are unfamiliar to many of you. And then old familiar places he's brought even to a higher standing of challenge. The Holy Spirit's talking about the one who comes to oppose you. But you might as well know that if he's here against you in your life, he's not talking about this service per se. He's talking about stepping up a place of fight inside of you against. He said, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into divers tests, trials, temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith will produce a patience, that having that patience come to its perfect work was also described when Paul said that patience gives over to hope, and hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. So give me what it takes to get past whatever it is that he's come, and count it joy because knowing this, that if you do endure, that the thing that he's wanting to stop you for is the last day outpouring and the intercession, because souls, and especially your own flesh and blood, is at stake. So everything that he's brought to withstand you is not just for you, but I have made you. I have called you as kings and priests and given you my anointing. I've not asked you to fortify yourself in a fortress and keep yourself at fear, not being able to go forth, but I've called you to go forth as an offensive army and to take a stand in these last days. Do not fear him who opposes you physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, in any way that he could possibly come. Do not fear him, for I have overcome the wicked one, says the Spirit of God. I've placed within you fearlessness, but you must understand you cannot win with the mind and you cannot win with the soul. You must give yourself over to that place that does not, on the usual place, it doesn't make much sense. Doesn't make much sense to the natural man. So I tell you, go to that place. Some say, how do I go to that place? Turning yourselves over. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing in the Holy Ghost and making melody to me, saith the Spirit of God. I'll turn your enemies to flight. I'll cause them to understand there is no way of escape for them. They will perish under those high praises, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. So one more time, would you just stand with me? Lift those hands. Let's just magnify Him. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We glorify you. Praise and exalt you, Jesus. Praise and exalt you, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We glorify you. We glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I glorify you and exalt you, Jesus. I will exalt you, Jesus. I will exalt you, Jesus. Magnify you and glorify you. I praise and exalt your wonderful name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are worthy to receive praise. You are worthy to receive praise. Paso la carece. Me la conozco. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we magnify 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 you. Jesus, we exalt you. Jesus, we exalt you. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory, Jesus. Kalaboso. Mekaroso. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We exalt you, Jesus. Be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. There's a natural order and there's a spiritual order. But the natural order will come underneath the spiritual order, and it's supposed to. We've been teaching on Wednesday nights recently on the root of all evil. But it's really been a positive, very positive message. One of the things that we found out was that simple verse over in Philippians that He'll supply and meet all of your needs, Paul said. All of yours. He wasn't even speaking of his own self. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, He'll do it by Christ Jesus. Well, we're all, I mean from the least to the greatest, we're all dying and being conformed to the Word. If you are in the Word, really can't be conformed to it if you're not in there. And an occasional hello, God, and how you doing won't conform you. Confession is a powerful part of it. How many of you have ever heard of praying in tongues? That's a powerful part of it. But your confession is not like your confession, like your talking confession. There's two types of confession. There's like a good answer confession, like how you doing? Oh yeah, He's met all my needs according to His riches and glory. But that won't even change your condition. An occasional confession as conversation, that won't change it. Because usually the program, if there's a real battle, that's not enough. And you're not changing Him because He's already done it. What you're doing is changing the world that you live in so that you're taking away all fear. Because when fear goes, then usually He's able to get across to you what He's... Somebody said, He's blocking it. Satan's blocking it. Not really. He is, yes. But He's controlling, being able to block it usually through fear. Well, we're all changing from the least to the greatest because usually we'll make a statement like, He's my healer. I believe He's my healer, but if you don't go on to walk the floor and call it done and really get into a place where you engage, where you really engage in it to where it starts having a severe effect on your thoughts. You know when you start dreaming the Word of God? That's when it's really starting to get down in you. When you wake up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and what you were confessing enough during the day, that's when it's really starting to have salt inside of you. So a lot of times we think, well, I said it and it didn't come to pass. You didn't say it until it began to really start working on the inside of you. So it's just like even in the, we say, I say He is my healer. You walk away from that and you don't say it for another 3 days, or you said it 5 times today. Well, do you believe it? Maybe, partly. But do you believe in other things more so? Oh yeah, the church at large really does. This is not meant for chastening. It's just an identification to say, well, why doesn't things really work? Why don't they work? They don't work so much. How many have ever asked why they don't work? Well, me and one more. Thank you. Let's go out today together and have dinner. We can talk about why we sometimes question why it doesn't work. You know, we still believe in the natural more than we do the spiritual. Even us that love Him a lot, we really do. Because if the doctor says, be there, here's my, you got a 3 week, I can't see you past. If you lose this appointment, you won't have it again. Be there at such and such a day, at such and such an hour. Well, he goes in, and I'm not against doctors. I've been treated by him. Here's what you need to do if you want to get better. Yes, I do want to get better. Do you like living? Yes. Well, here's what you need to do. You need to take the blue pill in the morning, the green pill at noon, the red pill at night, and take this in between and do this and do that and do this. Do you want to live? Yes, I do. Do you know? I haven't met hardly anybody that once they make that appointment because they want to live or they want to get better, they will keep the appointment. And then when he says here, and I'm not talking bad about medicine, take the green pill. I don't know if I have this in the right order again. The blue, the red. You know that you'll do that. You'll do it. Why? Because you believe that if you'll do it, and he'll tell you right to start with, this is not going to help you in 2 days. This is probably going to take months of you taking the red, the green, and the blue, and all this other stuff in between. You know that we'll do it because I've done it. You know we'll do it. But then when the Word of God says, look, if you'll confess my Word, if you'll believe my word, if you'll go in to an appointed time on a daily basis and confess my word and spend time with me, I am the Lord thy God who healeth thee, and I am the Lord thy God who meeteth all of thy needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you'll believe this and if you'll speak it and say it, it'll come to pass even as you believe. If you believe. So somebody will say, I believe it. But then you question them. Okay, how much did you do it yesterday? Well, I didn't do it yesterday because it slipped by me. Well, how much did you do it last week? Well, maybe once or twice. And I've really been meaning to go in there and spend some time. I've been meaning. But then the kids came and the grandkids came. And then that happened and so-and-so got sick and that came. And I know that battle exists. It does. The only thing, that battle existed when you went to the doctor too. And that battle exists when you're taking your pills too. But you'll keep that appointment. And you'll do those things. Why? Because we all believe more in that sense realm still, in those five physical senses, in every the world in which we believe. But if you really get to the place where you believe this works, you'll keep this before you even. Don't throw away the pills. But this right here, after a while, will become more to you. You'll say, no, I'll tell you, yeah, they came and they left, but I had to get up at 2:00 in the morning to keep my appointment with confession. I say, you are the Lord my God that heals my body, and you are the Lord God that meets all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I say you are my God. He supplies all of my needs according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. No, by Christ who? Jesus? Yes, by Christ Jesus. Now we can have an affinity towards that. We can love that and say, oh, I believe He did it. I believe He's going to do it. And especially, I like the way Gary Carpenter, you know how he tells his story? His daughter and his son-in-law, how they were doing real good, and he was going to do a job change, and they knew there was going to be down for about 6 weeks where there was no money coming in. And they thought they put enough aside to make that 6 weeks until he started working again. And they run out about 3/4 of the way through. She called him one day crying. She said, Daddy, Daddy. She goes, it was easy to believe God when we had money. And he started laughing. He said, honey, it's easy for everybody to believe God when you can see it and it's there. The only thing difference is when you have to believe, it's in the unseen realm. So you can say, I say, I believe according to His riches and glory. But this is the thing we've been teaching on Wednesday nights. It sounds like some more of that mean stuff that I just said. Oh, I know He's the one that supplies it. Yes, sir. Okay? Here's some litmus test. If you go in tomorrow, or you're working for yourself, or you go in to the place where you work and they say, you don't work here no more. Or we're going to cut your pay in half. Or Social Security says, we just run out. You don't have any more. Or your 401k, they just told you, somebody just went on the internet, stole all of your identity and took it all away. You don't have anything. Is he still the one that supplies and meets all of your needs? In other words, could he find you on a deserted island and still, could you still stand there and say, there's no natural senses around me. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he is the God that supplies and meets all of my needs according to his riches by Christ Jesus. In other words, it's not who I work for that supplies my need. It's not even what I've got set aside that supplies my need. It's according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, how does that place come? Loving him. Why? Because what he wants to do is he wants to replace all fear inside of you for a place where he can come. And he can do whatever he wants to do. Well, I had you turn here. So let's read it. And it came to pass, verse 1 of 8 says, it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout, that's Jesus, every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. It wasn't just evil spirits that were cast out of them. They were healed. It just names a couple of here, a few. It says Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, she was such a prominent woman, they didn't even give anything behind her. They didn't say, oh, she was healed of seven devils, or she was the wife of so-and-so. In her hour, Susanna must have been somebody. They just had to say Susanna. They said, wow, we know who she is. Quite a prominent lady. And many others, everybody say many others, which ministered unto him out of their substance. Now we've exhorted this several times before in the past, and a lot of you could do it as good as me. I love the part about Chuza's wife. He was Herod's steward. He was Herod's administrator. Herod was trying to kill Jesus, and his administrator's wife was actually writing him checks to supply. And the word says many of them ministered unto him of their substance. Now here's the natural order. I've got here, prop will do 1,000 words. I've come to this place several times in my life and found out he is the God that supplies and meets all of my needs. And I'm not making fun. I'm really not, because I'll probably have to use it again at some point. Oh, I gotta tell somebody that he come through. He come through. This was a clean one. He come through at the 11:59 hour. They were about to shut it off. They were about to come get it. Everything looked dismal, and he come through. You know he'll do that? He will. But you know that's really not his best. That's really, if he gets his way, what he really wants is to bring forth a supply in your life where you're not living from week to week or month to month on pins or day to day on pins and needles and say it was 11:59 and we just barely. Look, he'd supply all of your needs the way he supplied his needs. Well, how did he supply it? If you think Jesus went around pulling coins out of fish's mouths to supply his ministry, he didn't. He didn't. God had something set up in a natural order. Somebody said, well, he didn't take up offerings. No, but he sure received them. Those women and many others were ministering to him of their substance, and that substance means they were giving. They were following him around and saying, look, where are you going to next? Well, I'm going over here to Capernaum. I'm going back to where I was raised. I'm going over to Nazareth. Going over to Nain, or I'm going over this part of Galilee. We're going to do this, this, the other. And people were behind the scenes, writing the checks and doing whatever. Listen, do you know he's got a natural order for you? He's got a wisdom. He'll come, but I like the way Dave says it. It's not his will for him to really come always at the 11:59 hour and bring that sack of gold and say, okay, here's how we do it. Right at the last, he really wants to meet you on a regular basis. Do you know how to get there, Pastor? Yes, I do. I know how for you to get there. If you worship him and call him Lord and the one that will supply and meet all your needs, then what he'll do is he won't come necessarily with angels knocking on your door. He will begin to come with wisdom. Wisdom. And wisdom means you have to move forward on that wisdom. And he'll do it. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I think we're going to greet one another now. Before we do, if you have anything you can bless him with this morning, go ahead and prepare that. And while we're greeting one another, you can bring this forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. A lot of good hugging going on. Praise God. It's far better than that, than fist fighting. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, worship you. One thing I desire of you is that you allow me to teach you, says the Spirit of the Lord. But I'll come, and as I said, even through earlier instruction, I do desire to talk to you on a continual basis and instruct you. The quickest way out of anything that he tries to put you in, tries to manage you, is to humble yourself under my presence and allow me to exalt you in place of instruction and peace. My voice is unto you as many waters, washing and refreshing and strengthening, lifting you higher so that you are able to get past any encampment that he could bring. So humble yourself. Wait on me and allow me. For many will move past to their own order of things. Many will instruct their own selves and call it as if I had said and I had gave instruction. But know that the voice of the enemy. Yes, sir. He did vote. I will. The voice of your enemy is so close, even to my voice. I gave instruction that my sheep would hear my voice, they would know me and follow me. But too much of my body is too far away to know the difference between human emotion, the voice of the enemy, and my own voice. And they sound so close in proximity to the soul, For when I speak, I bring peace first to the spirit man, which solicits or enlists the soul, and the soul is made high and brought to a place of peace. So also, when the voice of the one that would lead many astray, whose first instruction and whose first oncoming many times brings an excitement to the soul, but yet afterwards there is no peace. Many wait, many do not wait, and then later find that which they received was not of me, but there is a place in me that you're able, always able to come to the end of all things, which is peace, the joy of my spirit. These things are available. These things are available. It's amazing. I was saying that, and then he said, say this, remind him, or tell them. See, I think I've said this a few times. One time I don't have a whole lot of dreams like I'd say that was really God dreams. I do have had. I've had some visions, but I've never had an open vision. Never have had an open vision yet. Haven't been called into the third heaven. So, but I do pray in tongues. And I do prophesy. And I do know Him. And I do know His power, like many of you. Well, on one particular occasion, I remember this dream. It was so powerful that we were all, I think it was here, it seemed like here, but it seemed like it was even a bigger forum than this, a bigger church. But anyway, we were worshiping and having a good time. And you know, in dreams you can do most anything. You can be here and then you can be there. And I was, I think, on the stage to start with. And then I was front row, right where I normally sit prior to the service. And we were worshiping, and there was quite a bit of, the world would call it energy, we call it anointing, that was in the air. It was, seemed like it was charged. I mean, it seemed like it had an energy with it. And about the time, I don't think he appeared. I think that he walked through the wall and Jesus came out. And he walked out. You know, dreams that you have that are from the Lord, you can remember them just like they were yesterday. But he walked out and he was like, he was excited with us. Man, my heart just, whew, I couldn't stand it. And everybody in the, I was listening to the people behind me, they were saying, it's the Lord, my God, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. And I, to start with, I was, yes. And he was receiving the praises. He was receiving them. And just to think that Jesus had walked up on our stage, I mean, you could see him full blown. And right in the middle of it, right while he was receiving all the people's accolades and praises, then this guy, the one that for the first 30 seconds of the dream had me, he did this. He looked over at me. Nobody else could see it. It was like nobody else, everybody else was blind to it, but he looked over at me and did this. He winked. Although I think he did it with his right eye. I can't wink with my right. because it was closest to me, because I'm sitting here. And when he winked, I saw all of the evil that was behind him. I saw that it was none other than what could be the exact replica, or not the exact replica, but what may have been the angel that ministered, if there was one that took on an identity to try to mimic everything that the Logos was. I saw Lucifer. He was the epitome of all evil. When he winked at me, it was in that wink, it was a God dream, but God was showing me how he works. In that wink, in that one split second, he said, he didn't say it with words, he let me know, I got him. I got him. They think it's the Lord. And I remember Candy waking me up. Wake up, Bronk. Because I was yelling at the top of my voice, get off of my stage. Get off in Jesus' name. Get off of my stage. And he had the whole crowd believing that he was something that he wasn't. Now, when Paul described his operation, he said this, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of darkness, and rulers of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wrestle against the wiles. That word wiles is the word trickery. It is. It's just, you don't have to be a Greek theologian. Just go to Strong's and find out. It means trickery. For 6,000 years, he's fought. He's watched. 4,000 before men were born again, when they just had dead natures. He watched dead men with dead natures, or men with alive bodies, but they were dead inside. He watched them. And an intelligent creature. When I come out of that dream, I didn't want to call him Satan. For some reason, I wanted to call him Lucifer, that I'd seen Lucifer. Because I realized how he must have been in his fallen glory, and how that he was able to appear almost at will and make his appearance what it was not. Paul said, we wrestle against. That word wrestle, it means to throw down. It can be to throw down and then to throw down again and to throw down. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the wiles. Wiles is the word trickery. Well, he's watched men after the born again. Even after you're equipped with a born-again nature, he's watched the church. And he's had 2,000 years as an angelic being with co-arts to watch and see how people respond. Listen, when he's watched humanity that long, he can't get on the inside and know how God's dealing with you. You've got a place, the Word says, that we are positionally, we're dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. So it's not like he can get on the interior and know the extreme, know your thoughts. But he's watched a bunch like us come to this place before and really stand on the brink of God really doing something, where church services weren't church services, where there was an electrifying atmosphere, where you stepped on properties and people were healed even coming to church. And once they got there, they couldn't get the sick in quick enough because they were being healed. He watched it in the first church, and then he extinguished it and brought it to its knees. And for 1,000 years, it went through a place where it wasn't even hardly existent. This thing called the Born Again Trail. Do you know in the 1500s, 1500s, it was basically lost. Wasn't that nobody couldn't be born again, or was it? It took a man named Martin Luther to come to a place where after 1,000 years, it had went underground, that he realized, wait a minute, it's not through confessing to some man, and then man has to go and do his stuff for you. I can go straight by the blood of Jesus. I can receive Christ. So we think, oh, ever since the cross, everybody's been doing what we're doing, and we've all been laboring under 2,000 years of God give us a revival, so he's just long and patient and giving us. No, it was by him stepping up as the master deceiver. He took a lot of people for thousands of years, hundreds of years. He took them through a place where the born-again trail and the born-again nature wasn't that you couldn't be born again. He just tricked them because he's a great deceiver. What's he after? Somebody said, oh, he knows he's whipped and he might as well lay down. He's just a lion that all of his teeth has been pulled out. Well, if his teeth has been pulled out, he's gummed to death the most people I've ever seen in my life. He's gummed to death a lot of my friends are no longer part of where I walk. And I just wonder how he gummed them like that with no teeth. Well, he does. He is a lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He took about 1,200 years of the church where they didn't do what we're doing right now. Then you follow the progression. Oh, we don't have time for it this morning. They took the progression of going through the Reformation, and then the people in Europe finally coming to a place and saying, okay, we're going to kill you because you believe that you don't have to go through somebody else. And a lot of blood was shed. A lot of people were persecuted. And then the pilgrims, the Puritans, said, we're going to go to a place where we can all worship God and believe that we can receive salvation just through the blood of Jesus. And they all hopped on ships and sailed across the Atlantic and got here, put their foot on the ground, and that was all. It was all. The whole thing was because they were trying to find God. Because this trickery had taken him predominantly out of the earth. So from the 16 and the 17, then men began to preach God, and then it was just the last century. We hadn't been sitting around doing all this for 2,000 years and people saying, give us a revival. Rain, Lord, rain. Come back. Let the bridegroom come back. This is almost in its infant state. We just started this. My great-grandmother, which held my daughters, she was alive on the planet when the first people in North Carolina, that's the first place they found it, and then Topeka, Kansas, Azusa Street, little Agnes, little black girl. Thank God for the blacks. Even after a white man had preached that it was God's will for us to speak in tongues after 2,000 years, she said, will y'all pray for me? It was on New Year's Eve, 1900. It was either 1900 or 18. It was right at the turn of the century, so I guess it was that year, the 19. She prayed, they laid hands on her. She began to, what is that? Because nobody does it. Nobody does it. You know, she got filled with the Spirit. Topeka, Kansas, and they started speaking in tongues, and that was 1901. They started speaking right at the turn of the century. And from that time, it was just a sovereign thing. Like, it went through decade after decades, through the 40s and 50s. It was like, and even when I was a kid growing up and I went to a school, that taught that you could do it. They just didn't teach you could do it all the time. Now, all of you believe that we can do it. All of you believe it's a catalyst that's bringing back revival. Somebody says he's whipped and he knows he's whipped. No, listen, a liar, a full-blown best liar. If you ever meet a pathological liar, like you don't know why they just told you the lie. I mean, there was just like no reason for him to lie. I've got family members like that. I mean, like, why'd you lie? Nobody was holding a gun to you. You just lied to lie. Pathological liars get where they believe their own stories. He honestly believes, and he's got good reason to believe, he took thousands and thousands, millions to hell through the dark ages. Now he believes this, if he keeps prolonging this thing and prolonging this, he believes, just like he believed from the beginning, that he could ascend Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, that he could ascend above. He believes with all his heart. Everything inside of him believes that if he can keep prolonging this, he'll find a way to extinguish the authority on the earth and then eventually to gain and regain superiority, not regain because he's never had it, to gain superiority. How stupid can you get? You're created. The one that created you wasn't created. But he's tricked a lot of bunches. Listen, when he finds a bunch of people like us, like you, that believe in the story, we're just infants. This whole move, it's amazing we've gone so far. Not really, we're behind. We should be. I'm ready for him to come, aren't you? And I'm not talking about come back and take it. I'm talking about give us our day of outpouring. Give us our day of outpouring. And there's a lot of devils that are fighting you right now, and they hate you, and they've come at you in a lot of different ways. But guess what? If you're not on the sidelines, if you really, really want to see him come back and you're praying for your family to be born again, it doesn't matter if you've got a voice standing in a pulpit like me, but if you're praying in tongues, you're an authority in the earth to get this thing done, and he's calling us on us to bring this thing forward and to say, okay, wait a minute, what's this thing all about? Is it so I can dress up and come to church on Sunday morning? No, there's a whole lost world out there that's dying and going to hell. And we've been given this gift. We've been given salvation, and then we've been given the comforter. Listen, he wants you to stay mad at somebody in the church. He wants you to get upset. I can't come. I can't hug them. Oh, get over yourself. Get over yourself. Pity parties. I'm in a bad mood today. What do you think about moods? They're demonic. Just call it, moods are demonic. They're just demonic. So you might as well tell moods when moods show up, good morning. I know you're a spirit. It's not the barometric pressure of the day. It's not the report that I got. It's a personality. When you begin to treat them like personalities and talk to them and tell them just absolutely how stupid they are, and then you start dropping names on them like Jesus, 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 Jesus. Why are the kids so mean today? Why is everybody doing this? He shows up. Why? Because he wants to keep you from praying, exercising your authority for the bigger things, which is to win this whole region for him. Hallelujah. And he's a big tricker, because he might not show up looking like Jesus, but he'll show up looking like circumstances, and you'll get so involved in those circumstances and fighting this and fighting that and fighting this. Understand this. He took one generation, a whole bunch of generations already through this, because he's watched them. He's pretty smart. He's pretty smart. As I said, if he's only got gums, if his dentures, he has no dentures. Man, what a horrible way to go. A lot of people I know have been gummed to death. Gummed to death. I know one who's smarter than him. It's the counselor that we've been given. If we will not stop praying in other tongues, if we will not stop giving ourselves over to the Holy Ghost, then family members are going to come in. Children are going to come back. Streets are going to open up, and there is going to be a citywide and a region-wide revival that'll take place, that when they come in here, they'll be shaking with the love of God and the fear of God, and the anointing will be so strong that before we even get to say anything, thousands and thousands will be born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you love him this morning? I know that you do. I know that you do. Why don't you just stand up with me one more time? This has kind of been an unusual, no exact line-on-line teaching, but I know that you feel what I feel. Let's get ready to go into revival. If he sent somebody strong at you recently, then count it all joy. In fact, I'll tell you what. I don't know what count it all kind of joy music Matt might hear the Lord say. But if you've been facing something unusual, or if it's an old usual, but it seems like it's had a little intensity add to it, then you should just really be some of the happiest souls that we have here in this building this morning, because you're being counted worthy to be stopped. I wish some of you would just join me on the front row carpet up here and show off your accountability of being counted worthy. Hallelujah. In other words, if he's been fighting you on some level in a stronger manner, and if he hasn't, then I don't really want to be around. No, I'm just kidding. I can't trust you. No, I don't ever have battles, Pastor. You need to get saved. And I can tell you a good church to start going to. Do you win them all? Yes. And even if you haven't been going through one, why don't you come up here, some of you, just in sympathy for others that are less fortunate than yourself, and just worship God. Come on. Let's come on and worship God a little bit together. I think this is the way we'll end this. Hallelujah. Amen. Worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Worthy, Lord. Now listen, how many of you think you can take the land and take the atmosphere? We're living in a time now, the word of the Lord came recently to the prayer center in Tulsa, and Tim kept repeating this to me. The Lord says, and I believe we have also, that we've entered into a new place. And new place is this: it's not without war, but it's an offensive warfare. It's an offensive warfare. We're supposed to start taking the land with an offensive warfare. And hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So if Icky shows up, and he may show up before you get to the parking lot, and he may show up through one of your brothers or sisters, but don't rebuke your brother or sister. Just speak to Icky. Icky's a bad feeling. Icky's a bad emotion. I don't know what they're doing down there, but it's got to be good. I can tell you kind of sometimes how it feels, and you don't even know it. When you start wanting to separate yourself from your brother or sister, and you, what's that? He says it's a fact. If you don't want to touch them or them to touch you, Icky is around you.
Icky, Icky's got bad breath. Icky stinks. And I just want to go pray, and me and Jesus got our own thing going, but I don't care so much about people. My God, what do you think this whole thing's about? Just talk to Icky like he's a personality in Jesus' name. Whoa! Hallelujah. Can we get that one more time, Matt, or something similar, or whatever you had? Hallelujah. How many could go out of here going, whoa, today? I mean, just. And if you want some extra excitement, look over here. Renee's got it going on. Hallelujah. We love you. At any time, consider yourself dismissed. But let's just worship a little bit more.